tonight, later on tonight, there is a free concert by Tentumbao that if you are in the Boston area, you might want to check out. It's happening at the Beehive, 541 Tremont Street, which I believe is over by the... why am I not thinking of it? Accessible by the UMass... Oh my God, I'm making no sense. The Mass Ave T-Stop on the Orange Line. Creo que sí. No estoy segura, así que chequéalo bien antes de salir de casa. 541 de la Tremont, el club, el Beehive, el grupo Tentumbao. They're playing Afro-influenced Latino music. That will thaw the New England January right out of you, says the Metro. I love that. That's just awesome. So, y es gratis, mi gente. Así que salgan a bailar un poquito. Eso empieza a las 10 y va hasta las, qué sé yo, qué horas. That's tonight. And it starts at 10. Tomorrow, you could also get your groove on at Havana Club Saturdays, which are happening at the Casa de la Cultura, also in Boston, over on... the street I can never remember the name of. I'm doing so well with the directions here, aren't I? My goodness. Okay, Casa de la Cultura, the Center for Latino Arts, also known as the Rafael Hernandez Cultural Center. That was its earlier name, so if you're a Boston person like myself, you refer to it still by its old name. We have a tendency to do that here. Anyway, that performance is a dance... you know, that you can go and dance, but it's a live band. Cinco Son is the band that will be there tonight. You can take salsa lessons with them from 9:30 to 10:30, and then the dancing goes on until 2 a.m. O sea, que están bailando hasta las 2 de la madrugada, mi gente, con el conjunto Cinco Son, en la Casa de la Cultura, en el South End de Boston. Y para que sepan también, el fin de semana que viene va a haber tango en Boston. No hablamos mucho de tango aquí en Esferio y es porque somos un poco ignorantes acerca del tango. Así que si hay alguien por ahí que sepa algo más que le gustaría venir y hablar de eso, como estamos hablando hoy de reggae, pues están bienvenidos. We don't usually talk about tango so much on Esferio, but it's because we kind of don't know a whole lot about tango in our little group of co-hosts. So if you have some... special knowledge of tango and you want to join us here on Sferio, you should give us a contact, drop us a line, give us a call, one of those things. Our phone number 617-253-8810, and our email always available for emailing at Sferio, Sferio, at WMBR.org. So the tango coming up next weekend, Historias Breves, featuring Guillermina Quiroga and her company of dancers and musicians. That will be at the Cutler Majestic at Emerson College, and it's coming through World Music, so you can look at worldmusic.org for more information. This is just a little advanced warning. Eso va a ser el fin de semana que viene. Hay tres programas, o sea, tres shows, supongo del mismo programa, y para saber más información se puede buscarlo en el internet worldmusic.org. Y... si no me equivoco, ya estamos terminando acá. Tenemos otra musiquita que podemos poner, Juan, para terminar.
Ah, tremendo. Bueno, sí. Podemos ir con una banda un poquito más reciente, Non Palidece, también de Argentina. La Sonrisa, una banda que toma mucho de Los Cafres, que lo pusimos anteriormente. Y pues verdaderamente bien, bien interesante ello. Cool. Modern reggae, Argentina.
Right. We'll leave you with how we started from Argentina, right?
Sí.
Stay tuned for human beings music. Music for human beings. An experience that cannot be expressed in words alone.
Que tu sonrisa me va a salvar. Tú sabes que mi sonrisa te va a contagiar. Hace tiempo que espero que sepas que tú sabes que tu sonrisa me va a salvar. Tú sabes que mi sonrisa te va a contagiar. Hace tiempo que espero que sepas que te espero. Dentro en el campo muy lejos un hombre resiste. Trabaja duro y ve todo tan simple. Mira su sonrisa que la lluvia ya llegó. Riega la tierra, vende fruta al patrón. Oh sí. Y mi madre que mira mucha televisión está triste. Y yo le digo que todo es más simple. Mira, mira mi sonrisa que traje hoy. Mami, tal vez te cure de algún dolor. Oh, sí. Recuerda que casi no te cuesta nada.
Te cuesta sonreír.
Que tu energía vuelve fuerte y sana.
Que te ayude a estar aquí.
Y que otro mundo se hace posible. Y es tu risa, me alegra decirte. Sabes que tu sonrisa me va a salvar. Tú sabes que mi sonrisa te va a contagiar. Hace tiempo que espero que sepas que hoy. Tú sabes que tu sonrisa me va a salvar. Tú sabes que mi sonrisa te va a contagiar. Hace tiempo que espero que sepas que
مرحبا إلى Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. Music for Human is New Age Talk Radio here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. And I have with me today Professor Levine.
Hello.
Professor Levine is a professor of Jewish mysticism. Welcome, Professor.
Good to be here.
And we also have Aurora, voice therapist and specialist.
Thank you for having me on the show again today.
Welcome, Aurora.
Darkness falls upon us in an early hour these days.
It certainly does. Something to do with the wobbling of the earth through the gravitational seas.
Another natural cycle for us, although I've noticed that voice therapy is made more difficult by long stretches of darkness.
And Aurora, what effect does the moon have on our voice, the cycles and phases of the moon?
Much like the effect that the moon has on the tides in rising water, humans are made 70% of water. And therefore, the moon rises the tides within ourselves, which greatly affects our voices. We see higher stresses and less fluid communication.
Of course, the new moon and the full moon is known to create unusual effects in the stomachs of dying wolves. And I've often wondered if that had a similar effect on other mammals.
I've never personally associated stomach pains with the moon cycle, although perhaps that is something to take into account. I've noticed abnormal stomach pains in the past. What about you, Dr. Jollis?
Well, I am a very old man, of course. Stomach pain, as well as many other types of pain, are expected. But I've noticed that the temperature of the snow will have a serious impact on my stomach function. Bowel movements.
How much snow are you eating?
Well, I tend to avoid the plain snow, but I do enjoy flavored snow, which is fortunately in great abundance in the Boston area. There's gray snow, lemon snow, and my favorite, chocolate snow.
And of course, heavily salted snow.
Yet it is indeed heavily salted, which is, I suppose, something to do with the Western palate. But it's, as you say, heavily salted.
I find the salt in the snow can do wonders for stomach ailments.
Unfortunately, it's terrible for the voice. Both low temperatures and salt negatively affect the vocal cords, and the internal vibrational resonances.
I hear these wails, and I wonder if perhaps they have been eating a lot of snow themselves.
Perhaps snow within lakes is a bit difficult to come by. But I'm sure they consume mass quantities of what used to be snow.
That's right. Every drop of water on the earth has gone through many transitions and many cycles.
And many whales.
And, right.
We are, in essence, partaking of one another. As mentioned before, we are consumed mostly of water.
Yeah, it's often been described as a cycle, that these things is cyclical, that the water goes through being a glacier and then eventually becomes a glass of water, and then you drink it, and then it becomes your water and maybe urine or something, and then, you know, eventually it returns to the glacier. But I think that this is sort of more like a dodecagon. You know, there are really 12 distinct points, not an infinite number. So it's not a cycle per se. This is one of the common misnomers in popular science.
Right, so as Aurora mentioned, all of us are made of water, and hence of parts of many parts of the universe. In each of us probably exist molecules that have been residing in the past in many famous philosophers and leaders. And an interesting question to me is, for a particular person, how many molecules of past people reside in them? How many past people inhabit their consciousness? And it really, I find it varies per person. Some people have a lot more former people's molecules inside of them, embedded in their consciousness and brain. Others have fewer and are more new.
They're fresher.
Fresh.
So yeah, I often wonder if other people like having others inside them. It seems that some people really like it and others not as much. Some people like having pieces of other people inside them in different places too, like, you know, I may feel somewhat pleased to have a piece of a famous philosopher in my hand.
Well, I find it should be quite amazing to have a lot of other people inside me, for example. It just means that I'm that more connected with the world and the history of the world, and lets me meditate on so many other planes, allows me more information.
At the same time, if you were making a hamburger, your preference would probably lie with one that had as few cows in it as possible, not like the diversity it may be.
Well, according to many scientists who are afraid of this so-called mad cow disease, which they attribute to strange little proteins that somehow magically live through high temperatures and attack your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But being connected to more cows in such an intimate manner, perhaps, can have exceptionally great effects on your meditation and on your connectivity to the world.
So you think that it would help to have more prions in your brain?
Well, I'm not sure about the prions, but to be connected to more animals, to have more pieces of animals inside me.
I mean, I can certainly see that there's an argument for both sides of the story. Some people would like to be, you know, to consist of a single slab, like a unique piece of marble that was crafted into one being, so that it's very unlikely that you have the imperfections of perhaps part of Albert Einstein in your hand, or you know, what have you, because none of us are perfect. But in the case of a burger, You know, there are many illnesses that can be transmitted through the cooking process. And, you know, obviously this may just be nature reclaiming you as a slab of meat. Who can say?
But if nature wishes me to be reclaimed and to be absorbed into thousands of other creatures, then that is an excellent fate, don't you agree?
Well, no. I mean, you know, it's it is an unavoidable fate. Even if I were to burn my body after death and eject it into space, actually that would probably work, wouldn't it? But conventional means of burial.
Well, they're quite ineffective.
Precisely. Precisely. Sooner or later, you will be consumed by the planet.
And perhaps some people would like their current molecules to be part of some future great thinker or leader, to have some influence on them through their body itself.
Although in all likelihood, considering the quotient of fools and idiots and despots, your meat will be in the hands of some fool in several generations.
That's part of the cycle of life.
And considering the millions of molecules that we are composed of and the great length of time, perhaps one day we shall be part of something great. Perhaps a dolphin.
I mean, you know, I'm not sure if my co-hosts respect Gandhi. Do you respect Gandhi?
If he was here, I would give him my chair.
Yes, he was a great Jewish man.
So, Gandhi, I'm sure, I mean, after doing some meditation on the subject, I'm confident that he had bits of many, many previous powerful men inside him.
I believe that's true.
So, there we have Gandhi. On the other hand, we have a great thinker like Ramanujan. Another Jewish man, and according to my meditation, he was born almost entirely out of the proteins in a single coconut field until he moved to England, and then he started to have many bits of other animals and people inside him.
Well, I believe that, according to ancient Jewish teachings, at least one person in every generation is created afresh from new soul and new body that has never been seen before on the earth. And this person, when they die, can then impart new energy and power to the universe, which can then be embodied in future generations.
So we have one spark of light added to the flame of life.
Is there any noticeable difference to this one person?
Well, Jewish tradition teaches that this person is often hidden, is a hidden righteous man. And we may not know who he is. He may be a homeless person. But nevertheless, when he dies and passes on, those molecules from his body and soul will help create new vitality on the earth.
But why do you think that it was a man in particular? Like, could it not have been just as easily a new coconut in every generation of coconuts? And since we're discussing coconuts, I mean, I I'm no expert on coconut husbandry, but it would seem to me not unlikely.
I would assume that coconuts generate many more new souls per generation than humans would, just because coconuts are so pure and so milky.
Well, I believe that of every species, there's a new soul in every generation. It's a bit like Noah's Ark. Noah when the flood came, had to bring one, at least one of every species with him into the ark as that spark of renewal for when the floods ended.
Aurora, of course, is also an expert in tarot card meditation.
A burgeoning intermediate.
And I think it would be instructive if we could have a reading on the renewal of life in the coconut.
Shall we have coconuts shuffle the deck?
I think that's pretty difficult, so let's see if maybe the three of us meditate simultaneously, and I will ask our engineer to prepare a sound of coconuts. So we hear the coconuts
flapping in the wind.
And if we could all of us collectively imagine these coconuts shuffling a deck of tarot cards with their dominant appendages.
Are we ready?
Sounds like the coconuts are answering in the affirmative. Or they are emitting an orange affirmative aura.
The first card. And now, since there's no present or past, I've just drawn three cards in order to clarify on the single question of whether or not there is coconut regeneration. And the first card that I've drawn is the Page of Cups, which depicts a jovial young man holding a cup, and from the cup is emerging a fish. And this cup clearly indicates life coming from nothing, as the cup is nothing but cold hard metal and the fish is made of fish and alive. And the second card I've drawn is the Ace of Cups, which depicts a hand holding a chalice from which water is flowing, and there is a dove diving into the chalice. This overflowing cup in the hand clearly shows that oftentimes the coconuts may experience multiple members that are new, with new souls. And the last card is Death, which, as we all know, is the card which depicts great change and renewal. It does not mean that the coconuts will die, although they will. It just means that they will be born afresh.
Aurora, what do you make of the fact that the coconut has a hard exterior shell, and that in order for us to enjoy its milky, sweet goodness, we have to smash it against the rocks?
Well, the interesting thing about the coconut is that it emits a high-frequency pitch due to its cavity-like interior. So if you crack a tiny, tiny hole into it, you can actually hear it wailing. Well, humans are not able to, but the small dogs, perhaps.
That's been said often of the human stomach as well.
Yes, although the human stomach operates on a lower frequency usually.
And of course, we don't recommend that anyone at home attempts to drill a hole in their stomach.
Or in a coconut, unless you are very careful. But the hard shell does not operate to leave people out. but to allow them to join into the coconut. As the amount of work that we have to put into the coconut makes us part of the coconut, and also allows us to hear its scream.
Yeah, of course, the very experienced meditative practitioner will have attempted possessing various animals once they've experienced, you know, walking in another person's skin. They will attempt walking in another animal's skin and then eventually another plant's skin. So this can be achieved, and this is why we know so much about coconut dynamics, is through the meditative powers.
Although starting with larger plants is easier.
I think now may be a good point where we can advertise the the number of the show. Anyone who'd like to join in our circle and perhaps tell us about their experiences with coconut meditation, the number is 617-253-8810.
Merging with any creature, coconuts are particularly difficult.
Well, because they are so genetically simple.
Yes, and it's difficult often for us to see the simplest things.
I find it quite a bit easier to possess a butterfly, which may have many, many chromosomes.
Much more than a coconut.
Much more than a person, actually. Yeah, a person may have only 46 chromosomes, I believe. 23 pairs.
23.
But fortunately, astrolepidoptery is a very advanced field of meditation.
Precisely.
Very well studied.
Well, this is due to the fact that the monarch butterfly, for example, has over 400 chromosomes.
And three souls, I believe.
Three souls, yeah. Although the... Again, mainstream science denies these really very obvious conclusions.
Well, perhaps that explains their hold of the weather. A more jovial sound, perhaps rejuvenation.
It's been said that many kingdoms have fallen as the result of a single butterfly flapping its wings.
In your meditations, have you found that the butterfly is actively flapping its wings in order to save civilization from ruin?
Well, I don't know about civilizations, but earlier today I was walking and I almost stepped on a butterfly, and as everyone knows, I walk barefoot, as is my custom, and in Boston this is really not the wisest thing, but you know, I still can't bring myself to put my feet into these little torture chambers. And well, I was walking and a butterfly flapped its wings in my face and I fell down. So the flapping of the wings of the butterfly, perhaps while not bringing a kingdom down, it brought Dr. Janice Sakran to his back.
Every man is a kingdom unto himself. I find that consuming too many butterflies can be bad for one's disposition. I often get very nervous when I have a lot of butterflies in my stomach.
Yeah, little pissy. In my time in Moldova, I was forced to consume butterflies to survive. I was being hunted by gorillas.
The warriors or the animal?
Both. Warrior gorillas. Hiding in the trees, throwing spears at me. I had stolen all of the bananas from the forest.
I find in my studies that the most efficient use of the butterfly is to not consume the wings, because the wings can be sewn into a wonderful garment.
Must be very colorful.
It's very beautiful and very silky.
Yeah, the natives of the forest there would weave the butterfly wings into very brightly colored undergarments.
And prophylactics, I believe.
I was not aware of the prophylactic properties of the butterfly wing.
Yes.
But I guess this explains why there were only three people in the forest when I went there.
Our engineer is indicating that we have our first caller.
Welcome to Music for Human Beings. You are on the air.
Well, I just wanted to say that, I don't know about the butterfly thing, but I'm pretty sure you can't, use butterfly wings as prophylactics, but if people are looking for a natural way to protect themselves from gonorrhea, have you, I've been a proponent of lambskin condoms for about 6 months now, and they work great. So that's an alternative to this, you know. I mean, frankly, it's mumbo jumbo.
Well, you know, I wouldn't dare questioning the effectiveness of the butterfly condom in the Moldovan region. You know, I would say that this is the sort of thing that must be tested experimentally.
With someone who's barren, hopefully.
Well, no. Like, that would defeat the purpose of the experiment.
Well, we can't have, you know, abortions willy-nilly now, can we?
Well, I can say in my experience that even when the butterfly wing prophylactic fails in its intended purpose, the result is really a wondrous child, a child who can perform wonders often because of the power of the butterfly.
What? No, that sounds stupid.
Well, let's bring another nodal point into this discussion. Caller 2, you
I'd rather we didn't.
Well, it's done. Caller 2, you are on the air.
Caller 2, could you speak up, perhaps? We cannot hear you.
Card. And as to whether they run a life cycle, if they seem to serve a purpose to a particular individual, and if there's a time to let a certain deck of tarot cards go.
What? Sorry, caller, we didn't hear the beginning of your question.
I was wondering if tarot card decks had a life cycle or a purpose to a particular individual.
Definitely the deck must have some sort of personal significance in order for your readings to be of the most accuracy.
I see.
Yeah, simultaneously, like, you know, I know many people who will warm up a deck of tarot cards by sleeping with them or by, you know, carrying them. Well, you know.
I hope they use butterfly condoms.
Well, in any case, the.
And callers, could you please turn down your radios?
Oh, sorry.
In any case, that they will pray with their. They will pray or meditate with their tarot cards in order to establish a connection with them, but I want to warn everyone against being too careful with the decks, because after all, they are simply tools, so they should not be worshipped or venerated or treated like glass.
Or treated as lovers. One should not become overly intimate with their deck of cards.
Yeah, and unfortunately we've had to take the first caller off the air due to some confusion.
Okay. Now, the deck of tarot cards... Hello?
Yes,
yes.
Hi. The deck of tarot cards, say, since I've had this deck for about 12 years, do you believe that you can imbue your personality and your essence into these cards, and that somehow the deck will grow with you?
Well, the only thing that's, in my belief, that is excellent about keeping one single deck of cards is that each individual card starts meaning more to the reader. You stare at these images, I assume, and you collect greater and deeper meanings within each of them. And so in an individual deck, which is usually printed in a certain manner, will mean something different to you than a different deck of cards, which is printed in another manner.
Yeah, and for me, the individual card begins to... I remember the many, many times that this particular card appeared, and which circumstances it appeared in, and it creates a deeper and more fulfilling image for me.
Right. And I noticed that two cups cards were pulled, and I find that kind of funny because two readings I've done this week at a 10-card spread, both times I pulled mostly cups. I'm wondering if there's some coincidence, maybe with the time of year or the cycle of the moon.
I tend to pull more cups in the winter, I believe, because it's possibly one of the harder suits. It resonates coldness to me, the bronze of the metal.
Yeah, for me, it's like there's a lack of fruitfulness with the winter. And so it reminds me that there is hope, that spring is, you know, only months away.
Have you found that tarot cards, the type of cards you're pulling, they are cyclical? As far as, do you find that there's a pattern as to what kind of cards you pull in the spring and summer and fall?
Oh, definitely. But at the same time, it depends on the weather within the soul of the person that I'm reading.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking about a grounded person.
There's definitely a cycle in that case.
Well, one other interesting fact is that as you gain experience with a particular deck, every person that you give a reading to becomes a part of the cards and part of the deck. When you pull a card for them, they become part of that card for you.
Well, that seems to be a common warning about tarot cards as far as treating them, especially is that readings should not be done for other people. So this deck is very specific and special to you, and you impart your spirit upon the deck.
Well, yes, so this seems to be relating to our previous discussion about,
right,
you know, the benefits of purity versus diversity. Let's add another point into this discussion.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your advice. I appreciate it.
Oh,
I love the show.
You can stay on the air with us.
Okay.
Caller 3?
Hello, this is caller 1 from before.
Oh, welcome back, caller 1.
Thank you.
I'd just like to mention that if you read for others, more of you is imparted into the cards than the actual other person. So... Mm-hmm. If you're looking to allow the cards to resonate with yourself, then they still will. And I personally believe that having pieces of others within the cards only helps make them more connected with the world.
The cards. Mm. The cards become... Yeah, so it's odd, but caller 2, have you ever done readings for... not for people, you know, for...
animals.
Well, as we did earlier, we were doing a reading for coconuts and worrying about... the fate of the coconut?
Not necessarily for the coconut, but I have done it for the earth, and I have done it for a reading of the world and the elements, and as to the status of the air and the vibrations around myself.
Yeah, precisely. Well, I mean, you know, the coconuts is an interesting one. Mm. The reason is that there is, also there's a similar problem with the bananas. The there is a virus, a banana virus, and it's reducing the Earth's...
Are you talking about the salmonella in peanut butter?
No.
I believe Dr. Jalas is referring to the fact that the banana, as we know it, will not exist for too many years longer because a virus is now rampaging through the earth, through the banana populations. And although there may be other species of banana that we may learn to enjoy, the banana that we currently love in the United States may not exist for too many years longer.
Yeah, I believe it's the most imported fruit in the country.
It's the most delicious, certainly.
Do you think that this is due to any genetic modification?
Well, that might solve the problem.
There's reason to believe that some of the breeding that we have done on bananas has had a detrimental effect.
I see.
It's actually decreased the diversity of the banana sole.
Oh, the engineer says that we have another caller. Excuse me.
Caller 3, welcome to the air.
Hi, I was just wondering if I could hear more about that banana extinction you were just talking about. I'm actually allergic to bananas, and it's more of an intolerance, like lactose intolerance, and mm-hmm. Every time I eat them, my stomach just, like, totally hates me. So I was wondering when bananas are going to be gone, because they cause me a lot of problems.
Lament for some brings joy to others.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm really distressed about the loss of bananas. I really enjoy them, but...
I love them, too. I used to put them on my cereal all the time, and I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's similar to my experience with butterflies.
Yeah, it may be that through training of some type, perhaps seeing a specialist, you might be able to solve this food allergy.
Well, the problem is that I have trouble with a lot of fruit, and with all of them... I've grown an aversion to them because it hurts so much to eat them that they just don't even seem appealing anymore. But bananas, I don't even remotely have that problem, and I just can't resist them. I just wanted to hear more about when that banana extinction might happen. And just more about it, it seems something that you guys just mentioned, and I'm interested to hear more.
Well, perhaps Aurora, our local tarot expert, would be able to do a banana reading.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
If we could get the 5 nodal points in our circle to focus on the banana fruit and imagine perhaps using the peel to cut the deck with the banana would cut the deck with its least dominant peel.
Well, the thing is, like, the peel is definitely the most disgusting part of the banana. Like, that's the part of the banana that gives you that weird starchy feeling on your teeth. So I don't know that I trust it cutting the tarot cards.
But it may be disgusting, but it can also lead to a great number of humorous events. For example, when one slips on a banana peel. And so brings joy to our lives.
That's very true.
I regarded it as the equivalent of the hand for the banana. It guards the rest of the body of the banana. And
why would you not consider it like the clothing of the banana?
I suppose it's both the hand and the clothing.
I think it's similar to, it's perhaps the scuba diving gear of the banana. It's airtight.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's very insulating.
It's very waterproof.
So let's please listen to the reading by Aurora.
The present state is represented by the Knight of Swords, which depicts a young man charging.
And if our callers could please turn off
the
radio.
Yeah, sorry. It's just easier to hear you on the radio than it is through the phone. Mm. I'm kind of cheating.
A young man charging rapidly on a horse, a look of anguish and fear perhaps on his face. This indicates the rapid departure of the banana. On a time scale of between, let's say, 10-50 years. The second card depicts, it is the Six of Swords. and it depicts a man in a boat with what looks like a woman and a child facing away, and six swords into the boat, and the man is rowing them away. That indicates the actual travel of the banana away from us.
It's sort of, to me, means a transition. So this period of transitioning, perhaps, from one banana species to another.
Well, so, kind of going from a banana to a plantain, almost.
Yeah, perhaps it's somewhat vague, but certainly a transition of some type.
Well, the card is depressing. So it definitely indicates a bad transition.
Well, it could be, like, the complete opposite of a plantain and just end up being, like, enormous bananas.
Well,
in which case, you know, I don't know what I would do. I would just have these epic banana feasts and probably end up dying from it, so...
Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I just pulled for the final result, the Five of Pentacles, which, sadly enough, depicts two people, one of them with crutches, walking through the snow, despairing, with a nice, colorful glass window. This indicates perhaps the suffrage of some people who will no longer be able to live on bananas.
And perhaps the sad journey of the banana itself? I mean, in my belief, when a species goes extinct, it does not cease to exist, but rather it transmigrates.
Well, if anything, when a species goes extinct, it's more alive than it was before. Like the dodo, before it went extinct, I'm not even sure that anybody would have ever even heard of it, you know. But, you know, it gets a new life through its being extinguished.
That's right.
But we're very lucky to still have the kiwi.
Oh, I do not look forward to the kiwi dying.
Hmm. And I had a question about, do you feel as though the recent outbreak with salmonella and tomatoes, do you feel as though that bears any relevance?
Well, fortunately, I was farming during the summer. I was able to grow my own tomatoes, and they were happily free of disease. I sing to my plants, and I think that makes them happier and more fruitful. Hmm. Perhaps the salmonella and the spread of disease in plants is due to people farming on too large of a scale and therefore not taking time with their plants.
Mm, I agree. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I do have to depart the call, and I will continue to listen to the radio, but have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Well, interesting that she brought up the tomato. The tomato... And the apple, I believe, were thought by medieval theologians to be fruits of the devil.
Our engineer is indicating we have yet another caller.
Caller 5, welcome to the air.
Hi, my name is Professor Michael Jordan. I've been waiting about 15 minutes to talk about this banana thing. I work for the EPA in Massachusetts in... Boston, and there, you know, we were working on all sorts. I tag wildebeest for a living, but I read a lot about this sort of a thing.
Here in Boston, you tag wildebeest.
I tag wildebeest on the calves, like not the babies, but the actual lower legs. So,
welcome to the air, Professor.
Thank you.
So what is your take on the banana extinction problem?
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Well, thank you for joining us.
No problem. So, what else is going on? What are you guys up to over there?
Well, I find this very amazing. Maybe Aurora could comment on the striking similarity in voice between our current caller and a previous caller.
I was just about to comment on that. It seems that we have possibly long-lost twins or maybe people who are related through their souls in past lives.
Or perhaps they smoke the same brand of cigarettes.
What's that, Ben? I don't quite follow your conversation. Are you saying there was someone on earlier who sounded like me?
Yes, although I recommend not putting on a fake accent. It usually leads to bad resonances in the soul and sometimes awful bowel movements.
God mercy.
And so, again, we all have the greatest hope for the banana in these coming weeks and years, and also for the tomato.
Perhaps if we can collectively meditate on the banana and sing to our banana plants, they will not all go away.
The banana, of course, is a delightful creature to inhabit, to ride with spiritually, if only temporarily. It has, I often, seeing the banana, wonder how people can walk oblivious to the obvious, design in the features of the banana. Banana has a handle, a wrapper. It is nature's candy bar.
Yes, I've written many, many hymns to the banana in my long life.
Banana hymns?
Yes.
That's lovely.
Yes. Maybe next week we can have Aurora sing a hymn to the banana.
I would be glad to.
Well, that would really be lovely. Yeah, and I would love to have that this time. Unfortunately, we are, as you both know, reaching the end of the hour.
And last time will be my last time on the air before my great trip.
You are making a journey.
I am.
Where are you journeying?
To the Black Forest, mainly, and to other streams and lakes in the area, mostly Europe. I wish to continue my exploration of the world.
Your spiritual ascent.
Yes, and also to communicate with those who are suffering with the German language. As we all know, it has very harsh syllables, and my verbal remedy skills will be put to the test.
Of course, there are, I suppose, beauties in the eye of the beholder with a language such as German, for I find it to be very lyrical and musical.
Yes, it can be, although those who are in despair and German often suffer greater problems due to their harsh consonants.
But does it allow one to express their despair more eloquently?
Yes, it does, and often I find that while it is more difficult to vocally correct the problems, it is easier to flush out any hidden problems than it is in America, say.
Hidden poisons within the vocal tract.
Yes, exactly. And all things must come to an end.
Yeah. Most things must come to an end. But the never-ending circle of music for human beings has come to an end.
Just like most things, but unlike some.
Well, with the end of this week's edition of Music for Human Beings, I thank my co-hosts. Aurora, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Professor Levine.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Levine.
My co-hosts today were Aurora, speech therapist, and Professor Levine, mystic Jewish professor. Thanks to all our callers this evening. We apologize to those we were unable to get to in time. I'm Addictor Jalis Sakran with Music for Human Beings here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. We are on every 7 p.m. on Friday. Stay tuned for Night Owl. Ma'a salama. Thank you.
Four points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.